Today we're sort of launching into a new chapter as a church. We're launching into a vision of what we believe speaks to the church that we hope to become. And we just saw this bumper video, and it has some of the key phrases from our vision. Now, we've been sort of sharing this over the last summer weeks. If you came to our special business meeting last week, you got a taste of this. But for all of us, I want us to be able to hear it for the first time together. And this is what our vision is. Our vision is to be a church where you belong, joining with God to open doors and bring the hope of Jesus as he makes all things new. Over the next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about that. But before I dive into it, I just want to let people know that there's sort of some ways that you can engage with this and kind of start thinking about it a little bit more. For the kids and youth in here who maybe want something to do during service, there's some amazing coloring sheets. These were actually made by Markale, and it's got our vision on it. It's just a great thing that you can put up in your home to give your family a chance to think about this and what it means for you. I mean, for all of us together, this is the vision. No one or two people can accomplish any of it. And it takes all of us, young and old. And so you can do that. If you're a kid at heart and there's some left when the kids are done with them, take it home too. I don't know. Some of you like to color while you watch TV and stuff. This is something for you. But for those who maybe a coloring sheet isn't for you, we've got this QR code that's going to come up on the screen. And there you'll find just a little digital PDF, which gives you a little bit more about the vision. It gives you some ideas about some of the thoughts behind it. Now, again, it's just short. It's not going to capture everything that there is to do with it. That's part of why we're diving into the statement together as a church today and over the next number of weeks. And in fact, it's going to take us years as we create plans and chase after this. But we'd love for you to read it. So feel free to scan that. If you don't have a chance to right now, it'll go out in the newsletter later this week on Thursday. Now, we've been talking about this for a little bit as a church. In fact, about a little over a year ago, our leadership team decided that it was time to identify a new vision for our church. And what that really meant is we want a picture of a preferred future for what we want to be. And this is different than our mission statement. We have a mission statement which speaks to why we exist as a church. And that hasn't changed. That statement has been and will continue to be that we exist to lead people to be passionate followers of Jesus. We want people wholeheartedly and with a sense of desire to follow after Jesus and to help other people do that as well. But what we wanted to add to that was sort of a picture of where this could go. And we wanted to give some language to it. And I recognize for some of you, you're like, well, that's a lot in one statement, which is why we're going to go through it and be talking about it for a little while. But we really wanted to come up with something. And so what leadership team did is they commissioned a vision discernment team who went about the quite laborious work to survey our church. And so they met with all of our community groups. They created an online survey, which was sent out to everybody in the church for feedback. And then they took the feedback that was given and sort of boiled it down into some themes, some key ideas that they wanted to focus on. And then they passed that on to another group, which then worked on how do we want to articulate this? What do we really want to say? And at the end of that whole process, we came back to this vision statement, that our vision is to be a church where you belong, joining with God to open doors and bring the hope of Jesus as he makes all things new. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this, and we're actually going to break it up into sort of three chunks. And our Sunday messages will be focused on some scripture that talks to those themes. And some of them will be very easy for us to grasp. Other ones will take some time and be a burn. But what we want you to do is to kind of think about this statement in a few parts and identify maybe what's resonating with me. Where do I see that I could really cling on to that. That could be a piece that I see myself as a person who calls this church home come to fruition. What can I be involved in? And we recognize that not everything is going to be for everyone, especially not at the beginning, but what will happen over time is that together as each of us grabs hold to one of these truths of what God wants for people, and that's a sense of belonging for them to join with him, for him to make all things new, we will see that things will start to happen, and we're trusting that God will do some great things. And so that's why today I'm actually going to start at the end of the statement. Now that's a little bit of a weird thing to do, so let me tell you why I'm starting at the end. And really it's because there's a lot of reasons when we come to vision statements people just kind of go, and that is because there has been a lot of stuff, particularly over the last few years, where people have kind of lost hope for a future. They've lost a vision for what things could be like, or perhaps in different ways, we've chased after what things could be like, and then they haven't turned out. I mean, just take, for example, something like COVID, or the financial crises the world's been in, or politics, and I don't think any of us have ever heard the word unprecedented more than we've heard over the last 4 years. Even if we don't know what it means, we're sick of it. And so we kind of have gone, what are we to do? And so naturally, because of the world we've been living in, it's easy to not have a sense of wonder. It's easy to feel a little bit defeated, and it's easy for us to give up hope. And so if we're trying to bring hope and give a message of hope, we need to know why we can have some hope. And so this ending part of our statement that we want to do all this as he, that is God, makes all things new, I want you to know that that's actually grounded in Scripture. That's actually a scriptural quote, which we'll come to in a little bit of time. But this vision for God wanting all things new has been something that I love and appreciate about God, and I hope you do too. You see, our God is a God of new beginnings. And it doesn't take much to look for that proof. In fact, we actually see that God's desire for new beginnings is actually woven into the fabric of creation. Just think about the changing seasons. I mean, it might be a little bit hard right now because as you go outside, obviously, what do you see? Leaves everywhere. Everything kind of looks like death. It's raining. And we're going, winter's coming too. But no matter what our fall and winter look like, we always know the truth of what comes next, that spring is coming, and that with spring we will see plants come to life, baby animals being born, flowers are going to bloom, trees will sprout new leaves that have fallen, and we will be surrounded by the beauty of things that are new. And I believe that God actually gave us that pattern to also reveal to us the truth of his relationship with us, the rest of his creation. You see, God doesn't just leave new beginnings for trees or for fruit or animals, but he's given it to people. Because after God created the heavens and the earth, after he created the cycles of the season, after he created those plants and animals, he created humanity. And that was a good start. He said so himself, right in Genesis. He said, I made all this, and it's pretty good. Unfortunately, though, we were quick to screw it up. We were quick to go against God's truth and desires and wishes. And so we see that things began to go wrong with humanity. Now, God could have given up on creation, but God's a God of new beginnings. And so he offered hope. And he offered himself in relationship to us over and over and over again. In fact, God loves these new beginnings so much that he wanted to ensure that they could be a permanent piece of our lives. And that's why he sent Jesus to die for our sin. Now, God knew we would continually sin or miss the mark, which is what sin means. We'd continually go against what he wants for us and fail to live up to his standards because he's a perfect God and we are not. And he knew that that would create a gap in relationship with him. And so what he said is, I'm going to figure out what to do with this gap. And so he sent himself to come to earth, to live a perfect life, to die for us, so that if we would trust in him and follow after him, he would give us a fresh start. He would give us life anew. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has found a way, the new creation has come. The old life is gone, and with it all the problems that were attached to it, and the new is here. And what God does is he offers this to person after person after person. And that sort of brings us to that middle part of our vision. Now, I'm not going to go into all this because we're going to come back to it in a couple weeks, but let's just go back there for a second and see that. So our vision is to be a church where you belong. Belong doing what? Joining with God to open doors and bring the hope of Jesus. God wants to bring newness to the life of everyone around us and around the world. The new things he brings is the hope that we're going out to offer. And we can believe that good things happen as we do that. And you know, I do understand the pessimists a little bit sometimes, because frankly, if this was on us to do alone, I wouldn't have a lot of hope. I like y'all. I hope you like me. But we're pretty pathetic on our own. Like, we just can't accomplish the life change that's necessary on our own for everyone to have hope for their present and for eternity. But with God, incredible things can take place. And when I think of that, I think about the incredible newness that God brought to one man in particular that has sort of become for me an example of how amazing and how long-lasting the newness that he can bring can be, because something that happened in the mid-1700s still impacts many of us today. Now, you might not know John Newton's story. Some of you are familiar with that name, but many of us probably don't know how God gave him hope and new life and how that's impacted us today. You see, when John Newton was young, he had quite a horrific upbringing and life experience. At just 6 years old, his mother died of tuberculosis, and by age 11, his father thought, well, the only thing I can do with this boy is to bring him with me sailing on sea voyages as a naval man. Well, that wasn't particularly a great place for a kid to grow up. It wasn't a positive environment, and so by the age of 18, John became a bit of a flake. You see, he had joined the Royal Navy trying to impress his dad, and then when it got hard, he deserted the Navy. And then he took up what he thought was a great profession. He became a slave trader. In fact, John was quoted as saying, "This is a life that is easy and credible." Wow. Not a lot of hope there. But you see, what had happened in John's life is that when he was a young boy, before his mother had passed away, she had shared with him why she had had hope. She had hope in God to do things in her life and in the life of her family that she felt were out of her control. And that all came back to John's mind one day as he was sailing across a harrowing storm at sea. and he recognized that he had no hope. The storm was something that he had not seen in his decades at sea, and he knew that there wasn't a whole lot of hope for his life or for what he had invested his profits in. And so as he was out to sea, wondering if he was going to die, he decided to call out to God. And as he called out to God, he just found a sense of certainty and calm that was beyond anything that he could understand. And through time and some investigation, what happened was that an incredible change of heart had taken place in this man. And God turned his life around as he began to understand the teachings of Jesus and to follow after them. And in fact, his life changed so much that he went from a Navy deserting slave trader to a pastor and an advocate for the abolition of slavery. And you have to understand that that cost him his livelihood. It cost him his reputation with everyone he had community in, but he knew that there was something beyond that. Now you might be wondering, well then how have I been impacted by him? Well, John Newton is the man who wrote Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The story of God's faithfulness continues from generation to generation. It didn't end with John Newton, and it doesn't end with you or I either. You see, God has made a promise to make all things new. At the end of the Bible, if you were to look at the second last chapter in Revelation 21, you would see that God says this. He says, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You see, what Jesus did on the cross, what he wove into creation, those things were just the beginning of the fullness of what God has planned to do. One day, he's promised us that he's going to bring heaven down to earth. He's going to get rid of death and sickness and sadness, and instead replace all those things with good things that are new. But we as a church live in a weird time. We live in what theologians would say is the already, but not yet. Now that's a weird phrase, so let me explain it. God has already come into the world through the person of Jesus. And the very first thing that Jesus said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so what he said is, he said, I want you to turn your life around because I have come to establish God's kingdom on earth. And one day, and Jesus prayed this, it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. And so one day, I'm going to come back and I am going to establish all these things that will be new. But in the meantime, there's going to be a process to get from where we are to where we are not yet. And so as we live in this time, what God has decided is to invite me and you, all of us who would call ourselves followers of Jesus, to join him in bringing the good news, in bringing the hope of what he's going to do. And largely what this looks like for us is to find our place of belonging in him. It means that we find our identity and our purpose and our way of living in what he calls us to do. As a church, we just went through a sermon series, The Way of Jesus, talking about that's where we find our purpose, our value, our presence in life. But then he calls us to go. And he calls us to join in the work that the Holy Spirit is already doing in the lives of those around us. And so what we do is we work at helping people realize and live into an alternate experience for their day-to-day lives. And we do it by modeling it for them. And so as a church, what we're going to do over the next season is we're going to seek to open doors. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. We open the doors of our church and welcome people in. But it's not just about in this place. We open the doors to our homes and invite those who are far from God to experience Him through watching our lives, through talking to us about the things that give us hope. But then we also make inroads into the lives of other people, and we look for places where there's walls, where there's barriers to people understanding the good news of who Jesus is, and we create doorways. Not shoving it down their throats, not trying to beat people over the head of it, but simply inviting them in to what could be something new. And then we trust God to work. And we can trust God with full confidence because of what He's already done. Jesus has already laid down His life to show me and you that He's here for us. For those of us who have experienced that life change, we have seen how we have changed. I'm really embarrassed of what I was like decades ago when I first came to know Jesus. I'm embarrassed about what my life looked like. And I really hope that in 20 more years, I'm really embarrassed about what it looks like today. Because I know that God wants to make all things new in my life too. God has lived for us, He's died for us, and He's given us His presence through His Holy Spirit. And you see, because God has given us these things, we have confidence in what we're going to do. And we have confidence because it's not us who makes it happen. We're not going to be the ones who ultimately change someone's life. That's what God is going to do. But we know that whatever effort we put in, God will use. It's again why the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Let nothing move you from it. Instead, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Elsewhere, Paul says, "God works together all things for the good of those who love Him." Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know exactly where God is taking us as a church. I can't tell you what it's going to look like 5 years down the road. But what I have full confidence in is that God is going to bring things new into my life and yours. And He's going to change the lives of people for the better. I mean, just look around this room. Look around this room and think about the incredible work that God has already done. I mean, some of us were pretty hopeless before Jesus got a hold of us. Some of us probably were people that when our coworkers or neighbors or classmates looked at us, they went, "Wow, that person is a train wreck." But because what God has done and continues to do, they see that there's hope because they see that something is new. So I encourage you as we go on this journey together as a church to keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open on and focused on God and what He's doing. And keep your ears listening for the way the Holy Spirit is prompting you to give invitations of hope and truth and love to the people in the world around you. And as we do all those things, we won't be able to wait to see how God will make all things new. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for who You are. God, I thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You that as You created the world, You've continued to sustain it. when we've screwed up things and invited rebellion and sin into the world, Lord, that you have chosen to forgive us and make a way to be reconciled in relationship to you. And God, I thank you that you continue to make lives new day after day. And God, we've even heard stories today of what's happening with our partners at Light of the World and the baptisms that took place down there. And God, we know that that is something you even allow us to do and be partnered with as you invite us to open doors, not just here in Abbotsford, but in the communities that surround us and around the world. And so God, we invite you to keep doing new things. And God, I invite you to open up our hearts and our ears and our minds to what you alone can do. And God, will we see and know the truth that you are working to make all things new. And so God, for those who are here and they feel defeated or they feel hopeless or they feel apathetic about their faith, Lord, would you stir something new in them, trusting the promise that you have given and you have proven can be true. So we thank you for that, God, and we thank you for your goodness and for doing what only you can do. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.